At this time, I'd like to check with board members to see if any board member has a question.
Jim, no.
Mr. Pelletier, Mr. Sanford?
None for me, thanks.
Okay, great. Hearing none, I will go to staff for any questions. I hear no questions from staff.
Mr. Presiding Officer, this is Peggy Bensinger. I do have a question.
Sure, please go ahead.
Are you, either Mr. Raja or Mr. Callen, arguing that the board doesn't have the authority to return a permit application if it finds an insufficient showing of title right or interest?
The TRI standard is clearly met. The department's completeness determination happens at the time the application is submitted. If no evidence, as you have explained, Attorney Bensinger, such as a court decision that resolves the issue against Nordic occurs in the interim, that new evidence can be presented to the board, and that judicial determination, which would be binding, can then serve as grounds for the board to return an application. But in the posture at issue here, then the department's completeness determination was correct on the record and not appealed to the board. The presiding officer's decision in procedural order 2 was correct on the record and not appealed to the board. And the board previously determined the TRI should not be a hearing topic. All of those decisions were correct when made, and there has been no new evidence since any of those decisions that would give the board new authority now to revisit them. So the board would have such authority if the court decision were to come down, but I don't think that it would be proper for the board to do that with the procedural history and the current procedural posture of this case.
Thank you.
If I may pose a question briefly to Ms. Bensinger on that point, I think my understanding is the presiding officers have made a couple of procedural orders as to how we're going to go forward, but the board itself has not made its own independent determination of TRI, whether it's sufficient to go forward, and that the board can make such a determination independent of the original certification of completeness done by the commissioner. How accurate is my assessment?
That's correct. I disagree with Mr. Callen to the extent that I think the board does have the authority to return the applications if it finds insufficient TRI, and I don't think the board is bound by the commissioner's determination at an earlier date. So I think your assessment is correct.
Are there any other questions from either board or staff before I go to Ms. Tucker for rebuttal?
This is Cindy Bertacci. I have one question. Given your argument, is it your position that the easement hasn't been specified across the intertidal, that one would automatically default to the colonial method to determine the ownership or the use of that property, and that it doesn't need to be specified more clearly in any given an easement?
The easement, this is Joanna Taranjo, the easement document and the language of the easement in all of its sources, including the original, was sufficiently broad to include the intertidal. The Exhibit A, which shows the upland portion, was intended between the Eckroats and Nordic. That document was not created for TRI purposes. That was created between Nordic and the Eckroats to show where on their upland Nordic could put its pipes. The clarification application that was submitted to the department in March clearly calls out that Amy, as AAG Bensinger read moments ago, clearly says the Eckroats are saying you can go anywhere you want, Nordic, in the intertidal or anything we own under U.S. Route 1. Go for it. We don't have any barns or, you know, driveways in those areas, so have at it.
Just to follow up to that, I mean, on page 61 of the packet, in response to a request by the Department for Information, Nordic submitted a map with the intertidal areas as would be defined by the colonial method. And so I guess I'm looking for clarification as to the basis for asserting that you were granted easement and that it would extend through the intertidal.
Sure. This is Dave Callen again, and I'll jump in just to clarify what the term colonial method is and what that term applies to. That is a method of calculating the side lot lines of intertidal zone ownership. It's not a quote-unquote method of determining whether the rights extend to the low water mark. The colonial method is actually also summarized nicely in section in chapter 371 of the department's rules, but it's actually a common law doctrine of property law in the state that a call to the water, including one along high water, carries with it any rights that the grantor has to low water unless those are expressly excluded. That common law doctrine is actually called a presumptive inclusion or a constructive inclusion in the property description. A call along high water, when it's made as a call to the high water, is the same as a matter of law as describing down to the low water mark. But more fundamentally, it's really kind of a disingenuous argument for Attorney Tucker to be making. There is zero dispute or disagreement between the Eckroats and Nordic that Nordic has the rights to go all the way down to the low water if the Eckroats have them. There's the idea that somehow the Eckroats have not given Nordic the rights to their intertidal zone is, one, wrong as a matter of law because they haven't excluded it. Two, not supported at all by the record because they've sent a letter saying expressly that they had that intent. And so I don't think that there's a real argument at all that the Eckroats somehow intended Nordic to only have rights stopping at the intertidal or at the high watermark. And I'd further state that the Bureau of Parks and Land, in granting our submerged land lease, which would clearly start at the low water mark, has determined that we have sufficient rights to get to the beginning of that pipe. And there's no reason for the department to second guess that issue.
Okay, are there any final questions or clarifications requested by either board or staff? Hearing none, I'm preparing to go to Ms. Tucker for brief rebuttal. Are you ready, Ms. Tucker?
I am, thank you.
You may go ahead.